Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Today, my guest is a public citizen, senior coordinator, Jonah Minkoff-Zern, who has been quite busy along with a host of other progressive organizations and Americans of all political stripes in the last week and have impacted on the U.S. Senate, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Hello, Jonah. How are you?
Hi, Marcello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'll confess that Jonah and I have talked on the radio as well as other times, but on the radio recently, and that show broadcast before a lot of the things we're going to talk about today happened. Tell us, I guess we ought to first of all talk a little about Public Citizen so they know where this is coming from.
Public Citizen is an organization that was founded in 1970. It was founded by Ralph Nader and a crew of other people working with him. Mm-hmm. It's aimed at being the people's voice in D.C. The corporations and the wealthy have their lobbyists, and mm-hmm. Public Citizen is the people's voice in D.C. And we work on a really wide variety of issues, ranging from healthcare to climate change to issues of workers' rights, and broadly argue on different cases before the Supreme Court. The campaign that I work on is about money and politics, and specifically working for a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics and overturn Citizens United.
So we talked before Monday's vote, and on Monday, September 8th, the U.S. Senate took a vote that I don't think either Jonah and I thought was quite going to go the way it did. Am I correct? Am I assuming too much on your part, Jonah?
No, that's right. I mean, we found out a few days before that what happened on Monday might have happened, but we weren't expecting it in advance. And I tell you, I worked all weekend once.
Yes.
I learned what was going to transpire.
Okay, and I guess we should let the cat out of the bag, as they say. 79 senators voted yes, which was at the very least the first step to allow open debate on the Senate floor about overturning the Supreme Court's decision that we all know as Citizens United. Correct me or embellish in any way necessary, Jonah. What happened?
No, that's right. Uh-huh. That's right. And it really wasn't what we had been expecting in leading up to yesterday. We thought that there was going to be a Republican filibuster, that there was not going to be debate on the floor, and we were really surprised to learn that they were going to allow debate to go forward. And it's just an exciting point right now, as the U.S. Senate for the whole week is debating a constitutional amendment.
Yes. And if 79 already voted yes, that means it was a lot more than Democrats voting.
That's right. And a lot of Republicans decided to support having a debate on this, which is a great first step, because once you really hear the arguments, it's pretty hard to think that you wouldn't want to support this constitutional amendment. And I think the American people feel pretty strongly that across political lines, they understand, and we understand, that our voices are being drowned out by money and politics, and there's it's pretty hard to argue that we want to keep that system going.
And I think I've seen polls that say as many as 73% of Americans, regardless of their political voting habits, are against the Citizens United and its allowing so much money into the hands of corporations and, of course, individual billionaires as well. It's not just the industry, but the people who run it who are now free to essentially buy our elections. So I think the American people have spoken, but I have to say, they've spoken so loudly last week, and as you say, through this weekend of September 6th and 7th, that obviously senators heard, and I know one in particular, well, two to be fair, because I think Senator Mark Warner came around too because of a lot of the work your organizations were doing. We should mention a few of them, and it was not only Public Citizen, but Progressive Democrats of America, Common Cause, MoveOn.org, how many other people were involved?
You know, there are a lot of organizations involved, People for the American Way, Credo, Sierra Club, NAACP, Communication Workers of America, Teamsters, and, you know, the list goes on. It's really people from all stripes who can see that when our elections are bought and sold, that the issues that we care about aren't being effectively addressed.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's immigration reform, whether it's climate change, whether it's gun violence, you know, whatever issue it is, when we have a Congress that's controlled by these small group of ruling elites, they're not able to make effective decisions that reflect the voices of the people.
Exactly. And that brings me to, we always hearing, and certainly I use it, and some may say overuse it in my writing, government of the people, by the people, for the people. But, you know, that's what happened this week. That's exactly what happened this week, because it was grassroots. It was a number of different organizations. It was everybody pulling, you know, calling you and people that we've been talking to. We were all on the phone calling Senator. Now, this last minute push in particular was for the Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, and I live in Virginia, so I was, and I know Senator Tim Kaine. I've met him. We've chatted. We're not buddies, but I've met him. I've heard his speeches. I've stood with him and chatted with him, and I was surprised to find that he initially, I don't think, was even planning to vote yes for getting it to on the floor for debate, but he still is not in favor of co-sponsoring it. Is that correct?
That's right. He is not going to co-sponsor, is what he's saying still, which is disappointing because there are 50 senators now on board, 49 of them as sponsors, and Senator Leahy, who's the head of the committee, and doesn't sponsor bills that go through his committee, but he's voted for it twice. And so it's disappointing that Senator Kaine's not a co-sponsor, but people's voices last week really were heard. You know, there were five remaining Democrat senators who had not yet joined as sponsors, and each of those five, because of rallies that took place at their office, that people delivered the state's portion
yes.
of 3.2 million petition signatures that have been gathered nationwide.
Yes.
And also people called into those offices, and those phone calls really matter.
Yes.
There have been already just one portion of the calls. There were over 6,000 calls made this week into Senate offices, and that doesn't include calls from MoveOn and Credo and a few other really big organizations that have been doing this. Those all had an effect, and now all five senators, Democrat senators who weren't on board, are now at least committed to vote in favor. And so we should expect at least 55 yes votes when this vote does happen, likely on Friday morning. But we have we need 12 more in order to get it, and I think that may not happen this time, but we're getting there. We're a lot further along than we were a few years ago.
Yes.
When we had about three senators in support of an amendment.
It definitely was and is an exciting, because it's not over by any means. There's still more work to be done, but I do know you and I were in the email loop as people were calling and getting response from Senator Kaine's office. that I think in real time, pretty much via emails with the flying back and forth, I got an email, as did you and a number of other people, that said that the moment he had changed his mind, and I believe in my heart, it is because Americans, just everyday Americans, got on the phone and called the senators and said, we want this thing overturned and we want you to vote for it. And it's not like he rolled over and just said, okay. It took some calls, but eventually I know it was the telephone calls that changed his mind. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was called. I think there were really great letters to editor and op-eds,
yes,
that were published in Virginia. There were people who held rallies at his office.
Yes.
You know, people went for Warner. Warner also wasn't on board in Virginia. And people even went. He has an annual pig roast.
Yes.
And people went to the pig roast and talked to him during the, he has a reception line where he talks to people. And everyone stood in line and talked to him and said, I want you to support this. You know, people did creative things and were really passionate about it, and that's what got these senators on board, and that ultimately is what's going to get us the amendment, is that even though folks right now, folks like McConnell, who in the past has said things like we can't have the wealthy having too much power over our election, now he's changed his tune now, and you wonder why he's changed his tune. It's kind of how people change their tune on all the different issues, because his big donors want him to support them to continue to be their, his big donors. They
exactly.
want him to protect the money coming into his races and the other races. So all of a sudden his position flips. But they can't continue to hide from their voters. And the fact is, across party lines, you know, as you said, about 75% when it's put to voters in the ballot, that's not just in any area. It is in any area. It's not just in a left area or a right area.
Yes.
The state of Colorado voted on it, and the state of Montana voted on
yes.
it. They voted 75%, both states, to call for a constitutional amendment. And so the voters are speaking, and that's what's going to compel people like McConnell to flip their positions back and to support this amendment.
Yes. It is exciting, because I've always believed that when Americans pull together on something, if we just fight with each other, instead of against each other, you know, that we really can have what we say we have. And that is a republic, a democracy, a system that recognizes equality of opportunity and equality and justice. And, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that even this one battle is over by any means. And there's so many other battles to be fought. But my point is, and I always use this as an example, in 2012, billions were spent to try and stop President Obama from being reelected, and others who feel that America needs to move forward on so many issues of equality and equal pay for women and health care, etc. And yet, and he was not popular. It still isn't, you know. I mean, his numbers are down. But still, that 2012 election went the way it did. And I think it stands, as does this Citizens United vote in the Senate on Monday, September 8th. They stand as examples of what can happen just when everyday Americans say, this is what we want. And act accordingly. Let's move on. I know I need to curb my excitement enough to make certain I let you tell us what's happening Friday.
So on Friday, there will be a vote, uh-huh. and it's a little bit unclear to me exactly. I think the vote is still on cloture, so I'm still on whether a final vote is allowed to go forward.
Uh-huh.
But regardless, the vote will be the ultimate vote, will be the last vote that's taken. It's not, the Republicans are not going to allow it to move forward again this time, unfortunately. But we'll see. There may be some Republicans who are convinced through the debate, but really who are convinced because they're hearing the voice of the people.
Yes.
And we'll see if any flip. But we're planning actions right now on moneyout-votersin.org.
Uh-huh.
You can see the actions that took place last week, but also the actions going on this week to try to convince those Republicans to flip their votes and to support this. But I think this is a a very important step, and I don't think we're not expecting it to pass the Senate. You know, even if it did, we're not expecting it to pass the House.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then it still has to go to the states and get three-fourths majority. So we have a long way to go. You know, Virginia, we need to get the state house there to support it. We have 16 states now that have called for a constitutional amendment. So we're not even halfway there to get the 39 that we need in support of it. But we're making powerful progress.
Yes.
And I think the progress is happening really much faster than anyone expected. Mm-hmm. And that's because, as you said, people are banding together. You know, they're making phone calls, they're sending emails, they're holding rallies, they're talking about it, you know,
yes.
places like your show.
Yes.
And that's what's moving things. That's why the Senate decided to take a vote on it. And ultimately, that's why we're going to make this change. You know, every generation has its constitutional amendment. This is ours. It's
yes.
a big task. It's a big undertaking, but it's something we can do.
I'm going to come back to that every generation makes amendments to the Constitution in a moment. But I want to ask you again to do slowly for us so people can go there and see it, because I have, and it's most impressive, moneyoutvotersin.org. Is that correct?
Moneyout-votersin.org.
Okay.
Moneyout-votersin.org. It's really exciting to see people's rallies from all over the country and what they did last week. And we're going to be putting more up this week as they happen. You know, there was already one today actually happening. You know, as we speak, there's in Kentucky, there's one taking place. And people are going to keep doing them as the week progresses. So it's an exciting moment.
Excellent.
And it's fun. It's fun to watch it unfold.
Exactly. It's there. There are not only photos, but there's a video. And it shows the different states. And so you've got a new thing now. You collect these petitions and all these signatures, and you deliver them in a decorated box to the senator's office. Is that something that's a kind of a new little twist or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a nice way to do it. We don't think we need to use the paper to print out these millions uh-huh. of petition signatures. It's a symbolic gesture where we put the signatures on a disc and we deliver them to the senators. But it's you know, it's exciting. What's exciting about these deliveries, not only just the enormous number of people who have signed these petitions, but also the large number of organizations and the really breadth of different organizations that they represent.
Yes,
and it goes into the price that we pay when our government is bought and sold, that all these different organizations, whether they're environmental groups or labor groups or civil rights groups or faith-based organizations,
yes.
environmental groups, all of these groups understand that when our government is bought by this wealthy elite, that our interests are not being represented, that these wealthy ruling elite of our nation, you know, it was only 600 people who gave the maximum contribution who were affected by the recent McCutcheon ruling that now says they can give up to $5.9 million instead of the $123,000 that they gave before. It's only 600 of them gave the $123,000. So when we're talking about this elite group of people who are buying our elections, it's 0.001% of them that are controlling our country and controlling the political dialogue. And, you know, you're right. You know, people banded together to fight against these big money interests in 2012. But on the other hand, you know, it's unfortunate that the Republican Party especially, but really both parties in a lot of ways are controlled by these money interests so much that a real agenda of immigration reform, of addressing climate change, of addressing gun violence, when 90% of people in the country want to address gun violence, you know, things like that are not moving through Congress because these wealthy donors say they don't want them to.
Exactly. We're going to stop on that powerful note and point. I'm just going to flip the percentage if I could before we go to a break. Jonah mentioned the 0.1% that are contributing all of this money. That leaves the 99.9% of us that are being taken advantage of and that are not receiving the government that of and by and for the people deserves. Hold on to that thought, if you will. I'm talking to Jonah Minkoff Zern, who is the senior coordinator at Public Citizen, and we'll be right back. There's more to this than Citizens United. Stay with us.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Can a voice be so big, a passion for creation so great, that stardom would only get in the way? 20 Feet from Stardom tells the story of background singers who weave their magic 20 feet behind the big-time stars who get all the credit. Here at last are the voices who have enriched our lives without our ever knowing their names. Did you know that the talented Crystals didn't sing their hit song, He's a Rebel? That was Darlene Love, background singer extraordinaire and uncredited ghost singer of many hits. We also learn here that one of the most famous vocal riffs in rock and roll history was sung by Mary Clayton, awakened late one night by her manager, looking for a singer to belt out a powerful hook for a bunch of boys from England who turned out to be the Rolling Stones. In fact, the film suggests that the most memorable riffs in the soundtracks of our lives were likely invented by background singers. Sound preposterous? Trust us. You'll want to see this tightly woven and informative documentary. Its entertainment value is reward enough, but the bonus is an introduction to talent that deserves way more credit than has ever been awarded them. Up to now. 20 Feet from Stardom. Out in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to The Reasonable Voice. I'm talking to Public Citizen Senior Coordinator Jonah Minkoff-Zern, and we've had an exciting vote. It's a tiny step, but it's a significant one. On Monday, September 8th, as the result of people writing and Democracy Is for All rallies all over America. I mean, they were at John McCain's Arizona office, for heaven's sake. As a result of that, 79 voters voted yes to allow the amendment, that's the Udall Amendment, I think is its official name, but what do you call it, Jonah?
Democracy for All Amendment.
Democracy for All. Now, I love that. In any case, if you know anything about how the Congress works, when it works, first it's in a committee, you know, well, not first, but I'm not going to go back that far. It's a bill, but it ends up in a committee and subcommittee or whatever, and they decide whether or not it's coming to the floor, and so it can be debated, and that many things just die right there. Well, what happened Monday, September 8th, remember that date, 2014, is that 79 senators voted that this amendment should be allowed to come to the Senate floor and be debated. Now, tell us what's happening, Jonah, on Friday, September 12th.
So on Friday, and they may vote to move this back to Thursday, because they're trying to get out of town, the senators.
Oh, gee.
But right now, the vote is scheduled for Friday. And my understanding, it's a vote on cloture, so it's a vote before the final vote. It's a vote on whether to proceed with the final vote will occur. And that vote we're expecting, is not going to be favorable to us. That the Republicans who've been trying to oppose it will not allow the amendment to move forward. We won't get the 67 votes, the two-thirds majority that we need to pass it out of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcello, as you said, the fact that that debate is taking place this week on the Senate floor on the constitutional amendment, and we're expected to get at least 55 votes when it does move forward, is a really powerful achievement, and it's
yes.
Something that's taken place through a lot of sweat and a lot of hard work by people to get to this point. People calling, people rallying, people going on marches. People marched across the state of California over 400 miles. There's this passionate growing movement. There's an 81-year-old woman in Florida who's organizing a march this fall in October. Her website's in footsteps of Granny D.
Uh-huh.
And she.
Yes.
She's doing a 300-mile march in Florida.
Wow.
In support of this, and it's in the footsteps of Granny D. She's the famous woman who marched when she was 90.
Yes.
Marched across the entire country for campaign.
Yes.
Finance reform. So people are taking this really to heart, and are organizing and are voting on it too, and are saying, we're not going to support you if you don't support getting big money out of politics.
Excellent. And it is everywhere. Arkansas, citizens were lobbying prior, and these great signs we see everywhere. Free speech is not for sale. And what was it? The New Hampshire, they can't buy our democracy. Oh, give us that website again in case people are just tuning in. Money out, voters in.
Money Right, moneyout-votersin.org is a site where you can see all these different rallies. And again, it's moneyout-votersin.org. And our website is democracyisforpeople.org. Democracyisforpeople.org. And you know, to get involved, you can sign the petition there, and you'll start getting alerts from us about what's happening in your area.
Excellent. And you should sign the petition. You do need to be informed. And also, there is a vote coming up on perhaps on Friday, September 12th, but because they want to get out of town, they may actually vote on the anniversary of 9/11. By the way, I should mention, because I'm hard on Wall Street, but I'm specific when I am, I think we should also mention, even though we've said it already, Public Citizen and other organizations we've mentioned today is a lobby organization. We often think lobby is a bad word because of some of the lobbyists on K Street and the things they do. But you can be a citizen and join an organization that lobbies for good things like equality for pay, like climate change being addressed, like some kind of vote on gun violence to prevent it in some way. I mean, even a background check, for heaven's sake. So there are good lobbyists and good causes to be lobbied. And you can start with the website for a Public Citizen and find out, you know, what it is you'd like to stand for and fight for. Okay, let's move on. I know we can't let our excitement get too far ahead of us. There still is a powerful opposition with a lot of money and a lot of politicians who are afraid. I want to say this. I think everyone, because I've seen a few emails, even in our circle, at least on social media, Jonah, I've seen a few comments on things that I've put on Facebook that, well, it sounds like a great thing, but you know it'll never work. And I'd like to say that, first of all, this week has proven that we can move lawmakers, just as the super wealthy can move lawmakers. If we make our calls, sign our petitions, deliver those petitions, write newspapers, editors, etc., join organizations, get involved with organizations like Public Citizen and Progressive Democrats of America, MoveOn.org, and others, Friends of the Earth, for heaven's sake. And in this, we will find common areas that that pull us together, and we will find in those common areas and that unity the power that we, the people, really have. It's there, but you can't assume it just works automatically. We are what makes it work. Okay, so back to, I promised I would come back to, every generation has amended the Constitution. You mentioned that in the last segment. Why is that? That's kind of a broad question, but it sounds like every generation is responsible for one. It's not quite that simple, though, but how does that work?
Well, you know, I think, Marcello, our founders, you know, with their faults in establishing our nation, they had many great visions, and they, you know, our nation was founded where only white men who owned land could vote, but it was founded with, you know, it was founded with some great principles, and it was founded by people who fought against control by a ruling elite.
Yes.
Which, just as a, you know, as a quick side note, makes me so angry at our opponents who would stand up and say that the founders created the First Amendment in order to protect billionaires from buying our democracy. The idea, it's just such a cynical and terrible notion for them to profess that that's what the First Amendment is about, is allowing these ultra wealthy to buy our election. But you know, to go back to the process, like the Constitution has been amended 27 times.
Yes.
And 10 of them were by the founders themselves, by, you know, the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
It was, you know, each time we reflected on the time, on where we were living, what time we were living in, what mm-hmm. change was necessary. And I think each time when people took up those things, like the woman's right to vote,
yes.
Or the end of slavery,
yes.
There are people who said that it would never happen, that it was too big of a thing to overcome. And it was, one of the last amendments was allowing people who were going off to fight and die in Vietnam, giving them the right to vote as young as 18. That was one of the last amendments. So each time when we've expanded our democracy and expanded who's had access, it's been done through a struggle.
Yes.
And this is our struggle.
Yes.
And I think more and more it's becoming transparent that we the people don't control our nation right now, that we don't control what happens in D.C. We don't control how things are messaged. Senator Mitch McConnell's speech before the Koch brothers that was just revealed through a secret recording.
Yes.
Shows just how extreme these people are and what they're asking them to do. You know, mm-hmm. McConnell saying things like we're not going to waste time by addressing things like unemployment insurance or student loans, just things that obviously affect all of us,
yes.
that affect our everyday lives. Not only do they oppose us, taking action for unemployment insurance or to raise the minimum wage, they don't even want a dialogue about it. They don't even want Congress to take it up and discuss it.
Mm.
The senators, in order to get their seats, they promise that they won't.
Yes.
They promise these extremists that they'll follow their agenda. But I think people are starting to see that more and more. And while the issue of money in politics seems, when you first look at it, seems kind of obscure and a little far away, when we really start to think about it, it really affects us deeply on an everyday level.
Exactly.
Every single thing that we care about, whether it's access to good jobs, whether it's addressing climate change, so our children have a world that's not riddled by disastrous climate occurrences like Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an exciting moment is that the general who came in and was known as the person who rescued the Hurricane Katrina botched rescue mission by the Bush administration, the one who came in and rescued that just came out and made a very powerful statement saying that the reason we're not addressing climate change is because of the big money interests.
Yes.
So if we want a world where we're able to, or if we want these issues that are addressing us, to be taken up and these changes to be made, immigration, income inequality,
mm-hmm.
Inequality for women in the workplace that's still so significant. We're not going to get those things when big money is controlling the political dialogue and controlling what happens.
Exactly. You just have to remember, as you said at the end of the last segment, that 0.1%, that tiny little percent that is controlling things and wanting to establish and maintain a status quo which favors them, as I often write. Well, of course they don't care about climate change because it's easier to drill for oil through water than ice. So, the glaciers melt and they're happy about that, although that is, as you say, this money in politics. It isn't just a one decision by the Supreme Court. It affects so many people, but also so many areas of our daily life. We need to think that that's what we're trying to protect here. We want to have control over our daily lives. And that's certainly a point that both the most conservative Republican and most liberal Democrat and all the independents and moderates in between agree on. We want to have more say and more control over what happens in our daily lives. And we do not have that currently. And we certainly don't have it with Citizens United being the law of the land. Something has to change. Now, speaking of change, you mentioned Virginia. We know I'm sort of a most of the time Virginia resident these days, but it isn't just because I live here and just because the Virginia senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine were sort of coming in at the last minute as we the people put pressure on them to vote on Monday, September 8th. But to ratify, as the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA is certainly aware, to get an amendment ratified even after the Congress votes to pass it, you need 35 states, yes? Is it 35?
38
states. All right. So I always say, well, I know why I always say 35, because ERA needs three more, the three-state strategy. But you need 38 states to ratify it. And that's a tall order, but we're on the way. But Virginia, in particular, we have a governor who wants to expand. I think he's given up on this now. He's been blocked by a conservative state house. But he wants to expand affordable health care Medicaid program in Virginia, but that hasn't been allowed. So he's partly because he's of a very bad tragedy in the family of State Senator Creed Deeds, he's able, our governor, to move forward on a mental health issue by executive order. But what I want to get back to is, what can you tell us? Is there a tutorial on a website somewhere? What can you tell us to do and how to do it to get Virginia's State Assembly to listen to the reality of the 21st century and big money in our electoral process? How do we reach them? Is it the same thing? Petitions, rallies, telephone calls? How do we get to that General Assembly in Richmond, Virginia?
I think it's a similar step, and I've been able to work in many different state houses now to get their support, and we have 16 states that have called for an amendment, and it's a similar process of working to get a U.S. senator as it is to working to get, you know, a state legislature. It's about putting, you know, sending emails, about making phone calls, about organizing a coalition to show that there is really broad support of organization who in one way are willing to sign their name and say, I'm going to be part of this coalition. Another way are willing to activate their members and get them active, calling their state representatives, meeting with their state representatives. And that's a big part. You know, you need to find a sponsor. So meeting with people you know who would want to sponsor and asking, will they introduce this and will they move it forward? And then from there, working with them to find supporters and get people to be co-sponsors, and doing that by having in-district meetings with them, you know, having constituents meet with their representatives and ask them to support this. And then putting political pressure on those who are holding back, writing letters to their papers, holding rallies at their office, and, you know, in some cases, getting them out of office when it's necessary if they're not willing to support it. That's the process, and I think, you know, it involves public pressure, but it also involves just meetings with constituents and the members and helping them to understand both the idea of why this matters and also to show them that their constituents care about this issue.
I appreciate that answer, Jonah. I know it's a similar tactic, but I wanted you to lay it out because you make it so clear. It's not an easy process. No one says it is, but it is. It does have some simplicity if you follow a certain pattern which you have outlined. And I know Delegate David Toscano and Senator Creed Deeds and a few others, and I'm sure everybody, you know, we all know somebody who knows somebody. And I think that's where we begin, as you say. And we all know how to write a letter to the editor of newspapers and say what we feel. I'm thinking of the speaker of the House in the State Assembly in Richmond. His name escapes me. He's a hard nut to crack on a lot of issues, but even he, if he got telephone calls and emails and rallies at his Richmond office, would pay attention. I'm going to make it my business to communicate with Rob Bell, Delegate Rob Bell. We haven't agreed on much of anything, but at least we can talk. So, as we wrap up things here, there's a great deal of work left to do on the state level. There still, of course, is much to do on the federal level. But at the same time, let's take a moment and be thankful to the power of the people to demand and get those that they elect to pay attention to how they want their American life and citizenship and equality of opportunity and climate and safety and health. All of those issues are affected by who is in government, and at the moment, who's in government is affected by money. And that's why Jonah Minkoff Zern and Public Citizen and so many other great organizations have rallied so many to rally and to be good lobbyists for all of us, all of us, all of us, you know. Anyway, any parting words there, Jonah? You've been great. I so appreciate your being on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me, Marcello. And I think, you know, it's your voice and your radio show and the work that everyone's doing who listens to it that's making this happen. You know, we have gone a lot further than most people believed we could already. You know, we say we went from pipe dream to mainstream.
Yes,
in our
I love that.
Constitutional amendment. So, and it's because of the work, you know, 550 local municipalities around the country that have passed resolutions.
Yes.
In 16 states. And now what looks like will be at least 55 senators who vote in favor of it this week. It's because of, you know, everyone's voice together that's making that happen. And then we're creating a change in the sea. We're creating a shift. So thank you. I really encourage people to sign up on our website, democracyisforpeople.org, to get involved with the campaign, as you know, sign the petition there and to keep working on this.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jonah, for being on the show. And, you know, I wish you all the very best in all you're doing and all of your allies. And if there's ever anything I can do, you know, you just shoot me an email. Okay?
Thanks, Marcello. Right. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Bye now.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Not Fade Away would likely never have been made had it not been written and directed by David Chase, who enjoyed tremendous success with HBO's The Sopranos. This film was his passion project, a semi-autobiographical account of coming of age when flower power was in blossom. In Hollywood films, straight lines usually lead to tidy endings, but here we are focused on the arbitrary nature of life's offered path and the impossibility of perfection. Chase is known as a keen observer of important moments. He also loves and understands the power within the music of the 60s, an essential element in this story of friends forming a rock band and trying to make it big. But the path to be somebody is never an easy one, and human nature is a constant interference. This is the story of a confident young man beginning to discover there is no easy world where blissful dreams flower to abundance. Who is Not Fade Away for? For those who shared this special time. For those who experimented, who felt passion in the music, who would have changed the world with dream-perfect lovers at their sides, if only. We go on to other lives, but oh, what possibilities were once so real. Not Fade Away, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. Collateral consequences. Veterans, equal pay, jobs. Believing New York Times editor Jill Abramson is the only woman cheated by the Republican vote against the Paycheck Fairness Act, or return of segregation and voting restrictions are only a Southern phenomenon, or veterans are the only American citizens being ignored to death, or families buying corporate-owned bottled water to replace their employers' coal ash deposits into their children's drinking and bathing water isn't sacrificing the health of all Americans, or having a job frees us to ignore equal economic opportunity, separate but unequal, support our troops, western droughts and eastern floods, then the program is Addington's plum. However, it wasn't the butler in the parlor with a candle stick, nor educators and first responders who failed to protect our shores from a decade of war dead and wounded, too big to fail, and the MERS virus. It was corporate lawyers, bankers, and cokeheads in secret top-floor rooms. As a veteran and human being, I'm appalled at an alleged 167 deaths of veterans because of a delay in treatment for any patient, military or civilian. But though in need of repair, care, it isn't the VA system that's broken. It's the systematic failure of Congress to finance human services to civilians and military alike that's aiding and abetting Wall Street to break America. Mad as hell, like Alberto Gonzalez 50 times can't recall defense, grants only temporary stay from accessory to medical negligence or a General Motors vehicular manslaughter of American drivers. So before pouring GM gloating over Chump's champagne, celebrating Chump Change $35 million value put on endangered American lives, shall we regain our moral backbone and insist Attorney General Eric Holder finally lawyer up against the program with grand jury investigations, indictments, trial by jury, and maybe some privatized prison black time for white-collar criminals. In service of the underserved 99%, the good. 1952 National Security Agency was created because of Pearl Harbor. The bad. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court was created in 1978 in a bank vault because Nixon's NSA repeatedly violated our Constitution's Fourth Amendment. FISA legally limits administrations, believing, as Nixon, when the president does it, it means that it is not illegal, by requiring warrants to spy on Americans. If, like Bush-Cheney administration, you didn't go through FISA and get a warrant, you've committed a federal felony. Or, as Maureen Baginski, third highest-ranking official at NSA, put it, we've gone with another program. The Bush-Cheney-Addington administration corrupted American protective surveillance, thin thread, into the program. The ugly. Taking advantage of our nation's 9/11 grief, the Unpatriotic Patriot Act was created on October 26, 2001. And just like that, with Cheney in his ear, G.W. Bush assumed extra constitutional authority, telling NSA, I want you to develop a program. We've got the lawyers working on it, but you have my order. We're going to do this. Dick Cheney's attorney, David Addington, wrote the program. The creation of a whole new surveillance system without warrants, looking for unknown terrorists by spying on liberal, independent, libertarian, and conservative American men, women, students, teenagers of every color and religion. Ah, equality at last, for at least 99% of Americans. The program, authorized by President George W. Bush on October 4th, 2001, isn't old news, but rather why we did it. At the expense of a young voluntary military, veterans of all ages, women of every color, a middle class of every political persuasion, oh, and yes, even Republican retirees and American jobs. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of thereasonablevoice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard around the world.